Is this typical of show business, mother? She says she's now managing her daughter in show business.
I'm not surprised about this. I'm hearing a lot of adjectives here that indicate shallowness. I'm hearing that charm is important. I'm hearing telling is important. It seems to me that the only values you're teaching your kid are that being beautiful is the most important thing, making money and being charming is important. There's nothing underneath. It's
That's
a veneer.
Absolutely not true, sir.
Of course it is true.
Absolutely not true.
Oh, come
I have
on.
Never taught my daughter that the important thing is to be beautiful because
That's
it's not.
That's what the beauty pageant teaches people.
Absolutely not.
Of course it does. Are you telling me that adult beauty pageants don't teach this kind of shallow nature? Have you ever sat through a Miss America or Miss USA pageant?
Yeah.
I can knit a hamburger. I mean, give me a break. Give me a break.
A clip that I uploaded to TikTok from the Morton Downey Jr. Show beauty pageant episode went viral in August, amassing over 170,000 views, 4,000 likes, and 45 comments. It features radio show host Tom Likas grilling the mother of a beauty pageant girl for subjecting her child to the shallow tradition. The top comment, with almost 400 likes, deems Tom the OG Andrew Tate. To a certain extent, this is true, as Tom has consistently preached the same general mindset as Tate since the late 80s during his Likas 101 segment. Some Redditors argue that Tate directly stole his entire persona from Likas. Whatever the case may be, Tom Likas has long moved on from terrestrial radio and continues to broadcast his show on PremiumTom.com to this day. Moving back to the kids' beauty pageant episode of the Morton Downey Jr. Show, let's look at what happened after this segment. The mother that Likas grilled, Beverly Hill, attempts to cop out of the discussion, but Likas calls her out.
I'm not near as eloquent as you are and don't want to be attacked.
You're already copping out on me here.
I'm not copping out. I'm just saying I'm a lady, and this is a situation that I don't
feel
it's worth
screaming about. Look, this isn't the Mike Douglas show, lady. We're here to have a discussion, and we're going to have it out today about this, because I really believe that you're hurting your daughter. I really do.
Well, when you see my daughter, I want you to say, Tina, how do you feel about this? And see what her answer is, and say to her,
great. Yeah.
Did your mother
and
make you
And the Iranian
do this?
Hostages with a gun to their head all said, oh, yeah, we're okay out here. We're fine.
That's not true.
Yeah, give me a break.
They don't have guns to their head. That's not true.
Tom, come on. Aren't you being a little harsh here, pal? I mean, just because you and I couldn't win any beauty pageants.
Absolutely.
And just because
not.
Your daughter, your wife ran off with a cameraman. These guys
Absolutely
are all
like,
cameramen
not.
On television shows are all horny.
I know. I understand that. I read Linda Ellerbee's book. I know about this. Now, seriously, I believe that beauty pageants teach one thing, and that is to be beautiful is the most important thing. To charm a guy into handing over all his money is the most important thing. That's what they teach.
I'm not so.
Another mother flat out admits that she wants her daughter to become a supermodel.
You stated that you'd like her to become a supermodel. Will her early victories help her attain that goal?
Absolutely. I believe in that 100%. I think, as this gentleman is saying, that you're only exploiting your children and you're making them think that beauty pageants are only for beauty. I don't think that's true.
Well, why do they call them beauty pageants? Why don't they call them?
Well, yes, they
why
are,
don't they call them ugly pageants?
They are beauty.
Who was the last fat, pimply-faced, ugly winner of a beauty pageant, huh? There's never been one. This is not a talent contest. It's a beauty pageant. I'll call it what it is.
It's a combination of everything.
It is not.
It's a combination of everything.
Oh, yeah. Look at all the talent that comes out of these contests. Give me a break.
You were at a little child's beauty pageant. When's the last time?
You want to go down there and get in his face, you go.
When is
that? Yeah.
I promised my husband I wasn't going to get mad.
Oh, really?
But I'm mad. Because, wait a minute, my little girl has learned so many things from the beauty pageant. No, wait, let me finish, sir,
haven't
please.
I haven't said a word yet.
I know, and please let me.
Go ahead.
Because this is something that I've dearly love to talk about. Because my daughter has only had good things happen through the pageant.
Like what?
Now, okay, let me tell you. My daughter's going to come out of here and sing for you. And if she hadn't been on a runway and on a stage to perfect her talent, where would she have learned her stage presence? Where am I supposed to take her?
Stage
to a nightclub?
Presence for four-year-old kids? This is the most important thing a kid can learn is stage presence. This kid has no childhood.
My daughter
You've taken
plays,
it away. There is no innocence left.
My daughter plays with Barbie dolls. My daughter does her pageants on Sunday afternoons. My daughter sang last Sunday night to help raise money for child abuse for the child abuse.
Next, Beverly Hill argues with Tom Likas that her daughter won't use drugs because she's in beauty pageants.
There are drugs in our elementary schools. My daughter will have nothing to do with those. She has better things to do with her time.
How do you know?
I heard it on this program.
I don't care where you heard it. How do you know your child won't have any problems with drugs? You can't predict that. Drugs are rampant in this country.
My child is interested in other things, and therefore, my child won't be as interested.
Other things. Very limited range, though, I'll have you know.
Wait a second, Tom.
I hope to God. What is my child supposed to be interested in?
I hope to God Beverly is right, all right?
Thank you.
But I hope she is right. I do think there are mothers. I don't think Beverly's one of them. But I think there are mothers who use this medium, this so-called showbiz, because they are so frustrated at their own failure in their lives that they force their kids to make up for their life.
I never failed in my life.
And what?
I never failed.
Say you did yet, baby doll.
He made me mad, right? Not you.
It's all
he
right.
He made me mad.
But I do think I'm glad she did a child abuse show.
Thank
because
you.
I think some mothers, this is a form of child abuse. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to meet a casting director who says, just say no to pageants for kids. Next.
The show breaks for commercial, and when we return, Beverly Hill is crying over her confrontation with Likas.
The accusation has been made against this mother that maybe she is living her life through the talent of her daughter.
But I'm sick of it. I'm absolutely sick of it. I've had it from every person in the media, which, excuse me, but that's where you come from. And if you want to further your career by being on the Morton Downey Show, fine. But I'm here because
what are you doing here?
I am not here.
What are you doing here? Are you here to do a public service or something? You're here
excuse
to further
me.
Your career and your daughter's career. So don't come out with any highfalutin
standing
accusations
on
against
on the Martin
me.
Downey Show or sitting in this chair because I don't have the strength to stand right now is not helping my daughter's career, okay?
Oh, no?
No, sir, it's not helping.
Well, you're not going to bring her out here tonight, are you?
My daughter?
Yes, we are.
We're going to bring her out. She's going to sing. You want her to sing?
You're doing this as a public service, of course.
She continues to grow more emotional, exclaiming that, first of all, she is a mother.
First of all, I'm not a pageant mother or show business mother. First of all, I am a mother. And you're looking at a woman who was told, don't have a child, die doing it. And I had a child anyway. I didn't have to live my life through her. I have an incredible, exciting life. I've had more fun in life and more experiences than you, sir, would care to dream about.
Oh, really? Well, we're all very happy for you,
well,
but it's irrelevant to what we're talking about
so
tonight.
I don't have to live it through my child.
Let me ask you, Tom, you got any kids of your own?
No.
Oh, well, now, well, let's have a single guy come up and put the mother down.
Better not to have any kids than to put kids through the kind of hell that I've seen some of these kids go through. You say your kid won't be involved in drugs, and I hope not.
Well.
But I look at some of the child stars of the past. I look at Judy Garland, who killed herself ODing on pills. I look at people like Elizabeth Taylor going through detox. These people are miserable. They've lived as miserable
adults. What about
people
that are dying from drugs today?
Yeah, that's right.
What about all the common people who are dying from drugs that are not celebrities?
We continue with more discussion of beauty pageants and drugs.
You can't say because your kid is in beauty pageants or because your kid is going to be a little actress or singer that she's not going to get involved in drugs. How dare you? You don't know. I hope not,
you
but
know
you don't
what?
Know.
I'm going to tell you something. I know she's not going to because utmost in our household.
You do.
That's exactly right.
We should all be clairvoyant like you.
No, I take my child to church on Sundays. I do good things for my children. She gets more love in 5 minutes than you obviously have had in a lifetime.
Uh-huh.
All right, let me introduce, please, if you will, Tricia Erickson of the Erickson Casting Agency. Tricia, as a casting director for major motion picture organizations, you deal with attractive adults all the time.
And not so attractive.
And not so attractive, all right? Well, what effect do you feel beauty pageants have on kids who compete in them? And do you cast those kids?
First of all, I do not want to participate in hurting anyone's feelings. I have
Thank
a lot
you.
Of compassion.
It's very sweet.
And I think that this lady, come on, I think that this lady really believes in what she is doing.
I
and
do too.
Everyone has the right to their own opinions, all right? And
I
she
do too. I
really
think she,
believes
I think
she's that
she's
doing the best
what she
thing.
Thinks is best for her kid.
All right. I think there are a lot of parents out there that are doing this that really believe fully that they're doing what is best for their child.
Do you think there are a lot out there, too,
However,
who also are doing it to please
naive.
Themselves?
What I'm saying is they're naive. I don't care whether it's to please themselves or not, or this or that. They're naive if they think that their daughters or their sons are going to get anywhere professionally in this business. Now, what I think, the reason why I think they do this is because of the exposure and to get their child out so that maybe a casting director or a talent agent will discover them and put them
and
maybe
a certain
in a
amount
movie.
Of competitiveness.
Next, a casting manager says that she doesn't typically cast pageant girls because they're stiff and plastic like dolls.
All the good things in life, but I personally have never hired a child out of a pageant for a commercial or for a major motion picture. They are too stiff. They're like Barbie dolls. They're like...
they're always dressed like Barbie dolls.
They're like Stepford Wives children. They are programmed. They are programmed.
Well, on the other side of the coin, though, Tricia, Toby Gibson is with us tonight.
Right.
Toby, you're president of Young Talent. As president of that organization, you attend children's beauty pageants to find tomorrow's stars. Now, are you encouraging kids to become superficial, egotistical, and shallow?
I didn't say that.
And indeed, have you yourself found any stars among the kids?
I'm a personal manager, and I have judged many talent pageants. And while you say that's a Barbie doll walking down the runway, the child is not a Barbie doll once she gets off the runway, because I have a number of clients that I manage, young kids that are marvelous. I mean, some of them have done as much as 35 national commercials. Maybe you wouldn't have hired them because you thought they were pageants. But my kids that do pageants, when they get off that runway...
The show ends with Tom Likas correcting a woman to say fat instead of heavy set.
My daughter has a friend who has heavy set, and she's into pageants too. And she has just as many titles as my daughter, and she's heavy set. And it's her personality and poise that gets
fat?
Her there. Yes, she is fat. She is heavy.
Let's check it.
She's heavy.
You know as well as I do that somebody who's fat in a beauty pageant is the exception to the rule. It's man bites
dog. It's her talent. It's her talent.
It's that incredible talent at 5 years old that does that, huh?
Yes, it
Who
is.
Teaches her the talent,
she's
Betty?
Heavy.
Wait a minute.
Do you teach her how to sing? Do you teach her how to dance?
Dancing schools teach her how to dance and sing. And
I love the implication
my daughter
that somebody
is in a brownie.
Who is fat
my
could
daughter,
not be good-looking.
She is good-looking. I think I'm fat myself.
Tom Likas was somewhat of a regular on the Morton Downey Jr. show, having also been featured on other episodes like the Talk Show Hosts episode, in which he takes much of the focus. The Talk Show Host episode begins with an introduction to Tom and another radio host named Bob Grant.
What about a community where when you're 50, you get booted out?
What are the reasons?
Oh, maybe because I don't want to live on false teeth, liniment, and colostomy bags.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's Likas. Now, a guy that everyone in America knows, especially in the New York area, one of the finest in the business, good friend of mine, great American, all right? Don't kick any ass here, you'll have mine to kick, too. Let me introduce you to Bob Grant. Let's take a look at Grant for a second, huh? Let me see Bob Grant at work. Huh? All right, let me have some audio. Come on.
That's
Come on,
because
folks.
You're
Let's
a certified
Grant.
Wimp, Ralph.
I was just telling the truth. In the past, you have abused me.
Yes, I have, and I will again, because you annoy me.
Also, I would like to say that tomorrow.
Now, Bob. All right, let me ask you a question. You're another darling of the feminists with your views on women's place in the home. If you had your choice, where would you like to see women? Besides your bedroom.
Where would I like to see? I'd like to see women where they were back in the good old days of the 1950s. That's where I'd like to see them.
Well, isn't that kind of turning back the clock a little bit, though?
Well, no, I don't think we're turning back the clock. I think what we would do would be to improve what we have today. I'm being a little facetious when I say back to 1950. I think it's gotten out of hand. It's gotten carried away. Where is it written that for every anchor man, there has to be an anchor woman? Would you show me where it's written?
It's not, but if they're talented and they're good, no reason why they shouldn't. I mean, look at our Jennifer Bloppy here. I mean, I think she's good and great, not too bad to look
well,
at.
Well, I don't want to sidetrack the issue on talking about that, but what bothers me is when people are going to hire someone and they say, ooh, I know this guy is qualified. I know he'd be ideal for the job, but we got to get a woman. Who says we got to get a woman?
Well, Tom, while we're on women here for just a second, how about women in combat?
Next, Tom Likas says women should have to register for the draft.
In an M16, have you?
Oh, no, no problem at all. As a matter of fact, it's sexist to expect men when they turn 18 to have to go register for the draft while women sit home and take no risk and take no part in defending this country, period.
You don't think women take a part in defending the country just
absolutely
because they're sitting home?
Absolutely not.
Who the hell do you think is going to raise your kids, pal, if
why can't
if she's
men
out on the front
raise
line?
Kids?
Because men, men usually start
really,
the wars.
Why can't men raise
men
kids?
Men usually start the wars.
Oh, I mean, and why, women be out, why should going women be out on the battlefield? Right?
I take it you wouldn't mind seeing a draft of women then?
Absolutely not. I think men and women should share equally, because if women are going to go around saying they're feminists and they're going to follow the feminist movement, they should take it to the nth degree. It's very convenient that feminists never go around and say that it's unfair or sexist that only men can be drafted.
This guy
doesn't draft
really
women
believe that
too.
This guy doesn't really believe that. As dumb as he looks, he's not that dumb.
He goes on to say that women without children are prostitutes.
What do you think of women who stay home with their husband?
With no children.
No children.
Let's get real about this.
No
only
children.
People with no children.
No children. What do you think of them?
I think that women who stay home and have their husbands taking care of them are prostitutes.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Because I don't want to offend the sensibilities of the audience in Schenectady, which says my show is a little bit too obscene. If my wife were here right now, bleep this, will you? She'd kick the shit out of you.
Well, I think you're a pimp. Ace blow.
How about you? Would you go in the service?
Would I go in the service?
Yeah.
No, I think we should have a professional military.
So you want the women in? This is great now.
No.
Figure this
no
out, huh? Figure this out.
No.
I mean, does this sound like
that if there's going to be a draft and you're going to draft men, you've got to draft women equally.
You know,
equally.
And he wouldn't be drafted, Bob, so he'd be at his command post in Canada overseeing the women in the war.
By virtue of what he said a moment ago, he shows that he's immature and that he really doesn't respect women. Because
oh, really?
A woman in the home is more than what he said, much more.
A woman
she
in the home
the
with no children?
Of the family.
What is a woman doing
she
sitting home
the
without...
Likas further explains his point about women, stating that women who don't work and have no kids are whores and their men are pimps.
But to have a woman sitting home and watching television while her husband goes out and earns a living, she's a whore and he's a pimp.
Let me ask you. This is the same line of crap I heard you use on Geraldo's show. I mean, you've never come up with anything new. Your act hasn't changed.
You brought this up. I didn't bring it up. Maybe
you
guys should have researched
it, huh?
A little more.
Still sticking with it, aren't you?
Sticking with
it. I see you've grown a beard now that you're in L.A. You want to be with the boys, huh? Phoenix.
I have enough confidence in my manhood that I'm going to stand here and let you do that and let you show yourself what you are, which is nothing but a name caller. That's all you are. The people here know it. You got these people barking like dogs out here. All right. And you are the perfect MC for this. You are in there. Here's your partner. You love it, right? I know you love it.
We'll be back in just a second to talk more to this dog. You're meeting the barbarians of radio tonight, folks. Barbarians of broadcasting, I should say. Some of them great, some of them not too great. Tom, while we're on women, well, I'm not going to ask that question because I doubt that you ever have been. Right? But let me start with Lester Consolving. Many of you know Lester from the time he worked in New York City. You know him in Baltimore right now. I believe he's with WFBR Radio.
Mort asks Likas what he thinks about radio host Lester Consolving, and Likas criticizes him for being a homophobe and says he should be taken off the air.
In fairness to you, you're one of the best guys I know at monitoring talk shows around the country. You've listened to Lester's show.
Yes, I have. Do you think his critics have a valid point when they accuse him of being a homophobe?
Oh, he's absolutely a homophobe. He's an AIDS phobic. And frankly, I think a lot of the things you say on the air are irresponsible. They whip up a lot of needless hysteria. And I'm amazed that they allow you to continue going on.
I look on that with the greatest pleasure, having been denounced by Hairless Joe, the Phoenix Whorehound.
Wait a minute. Let me point something out. You've written a script for this program.
I'm just covering it. I've never before been on South Joe. Or Gorilla Theater.
You know, you
how did they find you?
Did Bob Orban
bring you in with a rope? Did they bring you in with a rope?
Is your whole show scripted when you're on in Baltimore?
No, not the whole show.
No, just part.
Occasionally we get strange people like you, but we enjoy it. It makes it very colorful. And by the way, do you have anything against barbers?
Do I have anything against barbers? Now, you see, you're a name caller.
Name calling?
You're a name
caller. How can I be calling a name? Do you think?
I see where you're heading. I've heard your program.
You have. I'm delighted. I congratulate you on your appreciation of culture.
No, I...
Listen, any time.
I will only stop and look at train wrecks and car accidents, okay? They call that rubbernecking. And I listen to your show. I've stumbled upon it many times.
How did you stumble? Tell us about it. How did you stumble?
No, I don't particularly care how we stumbled.
I
want to get back to some intelligence on the show. Let me come to Bob Grant.
Next, we learn that Bob Grant is a racist.
Some of your New York critics accuse you of expressing racist views on your show. Why would someone come to that conclusion?
Usually the person who accuses me of being a racist is himself a racist. For example, just today, I got a call. I won't even tell you the pigmentation of the caller, but it was quite obvious. And he...
Why was it obvious?
Well, he's got a very...
You sound
black.
Oriental?
Oh, he's not a racist.
You know,
how can you tell on the phone? I was going to say, for the first time in my life, I would agree with Bob Grant. That's horrifying.
I don't know what that means the first time, but anyway.
Right. But how did you tell a person's race?
Well, the guy was black.
How do you know?
Because he told me
you
was
can
black.
Tell a person's race by the way it comes out
the guy
on the
told
phone.
Me he was black.
Oh, he told you one. That's good. Now we got to that.
There's a guy practicing to be a prosecuting attorney. Hey, did you ask me a question?
Yeah, I did, Bob.
I can understand coming up from Baltimore how you try to make the most out of your appearance here.
Baltimore is the home of H.L. Mencken, a buster who could leave you in the shade.
Unfortunately, it's also the home of Barbara Minkowski, who a few years ago could stand next to you and leave you in the shade.
Oh, but I disagree with Barbara most of the time, but I do think that I would never ridicule her height. I really wouldn't.
She's ridiculing her height?
Yes, I think so.
I said could stand next to you and leave you in the shade.
All right.
I was describing her girth.
I retract.
Not like radio, babe. Tom like
it. Radio? Wait a minute. Radio
I traveled 3,000 miles for this. What is
radio,
it?
Radio is the senior electronic medium where active Americans I can do dozens of things while they listen instead of sitting paralyzed in front of a tube of the vast wasteland.
And so is Plato, and he's dead too, like you.
All right.
Hey, Bert Swimmer!
Let me come back.
He's in the history!
Do you know you look like a fat Walter Mondale?
Thank you very much.
Come here, look at him.
There's more of me to love.
Am I right? Look around at the audience. Look around and smile.
I will.
I thought we got rid of you 4 years ago.
There's more of me to love, and you are the man with 10,000 teeth. So let's proceed with the libretto.
Right. The bigger to bite your necklace, sir.
Page two on that.
Hectic schedule has allowed you to listen to probably, I guess, all of your competitors' shows. I don't know if you're looking for fresh material or what. Have you noticed any racist tendencies in Mr. Grant's programs?
Well, I'm a native New Yorker now living on the other side of the country.
You know, I never got a chance to answer the question because this amateur night... Hey, look, I don't need this audition. This guy that came up here in this silly usher suit...
That silly usher. Thatcher suit is good enough for the White House, Buster, and I was here and working right opposite you, and I had a delightful time.
You're such a small time person.
I'm such a small time. You're a big time, aren't you?
I'll tell you.
I would say, now, way I would describe you.
Back to page one.
You are.
Back to page one. This is why Mondale lost. He had to read everything.
Freedom! Freedom now! This gentleman is a professional anger artist, a melodrama actor who hands it up. If you think it's genuine, you have been fooled.
Okay.
They can do anything on New York
Radio. I was going to say.
After Mort snatches his notepad, Lester Consulving attacks him and gets pulled off stage by security.
Goodbye, Lester. Lester. Bye. 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 We'll be back in just a minute.
Transportation from the Morton Downey Jr. Show, furnished by Redwood Limousine. When in New York, call 212-226-7665.
All right. You'll notice Lester is back with us again, simply because not only did Lester overreact, but one of our security guards, always on the lookout for nutcases, found one in our studio. Let me introduce to you the real father of controversial talk on television, all right? His name is Alan Burke.
Next, we're introduced to Alan Burke, the pioneer of controversial talk shows. He criticizes Likas, and Likas claims to have had a show with four times the audience when they competed in Miami.
I think so. I think that when the psychiatrists review what they have taken and put on video to use in class studies, that I'm sure Tom will be a case study.
I want to point out, Mort, that in 1984, Mr. Burke was my competition in Miami on WGBS radio, and I kicked his ass. I just wanted to point that out.
Could that have been because WGBS's signal went out to the fishing fleet?
Well, our signal was no bargain either, but we had four times the audience, so what can I say?
Well, I'd say, as for humility, you're top.
Well, thank you. At least I don't go tackling people when I appear on a television program.
I didn't tackle. No, this very nice guy tackled me. I didn't tackle him.
Tom, were you just born obnoxious, or were you trying to copy Alan Burke?
No, I was not trying to copy Alan Burke. I've been obnoxious
born obnoxious
since birth, yes.
And now they pay me to do it.
I don't want to change the temper of this entire program at all. I mean,
a show a couple of years ago with Oprah Winfrey. Do you remember?
And poured soap over Jerry Williams.
Every time
I show up with you, somebody gets something thrown all over their head.
Yeah, this time it happened to me.
Like to point out that I
consulting,
think this,
is your pacemaker all right?
No, I was following the example of the New Jersey Giants.
Well, it's called the New York Giants.
I'm having a terrible time, and I must tell you why.
All right.
I've known Bob Grant for many, many years. When I was doing the television, Bob would go on vacation, I would sub on his radio show. So I consider him a real pro. I must admit something, and don't take it personal. I never heard of the Oaf in the Red Jacket.
Lester Consulving is the guy who went head-to-head with Bob Grant here in New York.
What happened to him?
I don't know. How'd he do against you, Bob?
You remember the phrase this guy used about kicking ass? That's why he's acting the way he is. This is a very disturbed man right here. Had I known he was going to be here, I don't think I would have come.
Grant, I'll tell you what. Why don't you just tell the truth for a change? It would be a distinctive addition to your show.
I'm telling you how unimportant this guy is.
I'm full of garbage. I've never been head-to-head with you because I would kick your derriere. I like
this
to try to bring some taste to this.
This guy is
I'm going to kick. Oh, yes, I did.
Guy who pours water on you, wrestles with a guard, and incidentally, while they were on the ground, I saw him try to kiss him. He wants to bring taste to it.
Love it, love it.
Alan Burke, you and I have been looking at radio talk. Let's play a little word association
all
here
right.
for a second, all right? Some of the talk show types. Geraldo.
When he opened the safe, was it Al Capone's safe? I immediately visualized what must be between his ears. The same thing that was in the safe. Nothing.
All right.
I don't think that Geraldo has a future as a talk show host.
How about, he's doing pretty well in the ratings.
How about your future, O?
Well, you
tell
see,
us about
I don't
your
have,
future, O.
I don't have too much to worry about because I'm among the rich and famous.
Oh, my God.
I also might add, he taught his kid something. He's got a kid who works on Wise Guys, which is a pretty damn good show.
Let me brag and say that my eldest child is indeed the supervising producer and writer of Wise Guy for CBS.
All right, let me ask you a question now. We're name association, Geraldo, we did Oprah.
Well, we did Oprah together as guests.
Mm-hmm.
And I must tell you that I think, in fairness to the audience who believes that she is a wonderful, warm person. When that camera is on, she loves everybody. The minute the camera goes off, Miss Iceberg walks out of the studio, has nothing to do with anybody. The whole thing is an act.
Yeah, that
really
was kind of,
an
act. That was kind of sad to say. What about Phil Donahue?
She comes from
what
Baltimore.
About Phil?
I'm sorry,
I'm
she was get produced in Baltimore.
I'm going to get to you. A lot of hookers come from Baltimore, too, pal.
Not,
yeah.
not half as many as you've got here.
A lot of hookers and tight ends. And they don't all play for the old Colts. Now, let me ask you, Phil Donahue.
I would like to reiterate what you once called Phil, a wimp. You called Phil a wimp, and I think that that was an accurate description. I think that he has illusions of grandeur. I think he thinks he is Edward R. Murrow. I really do. No, I think Phil does a very credible job for a bunch of ladies in the morning. But I think if you put Phil on every night, with gutsy subjects like you choose, then you would have a real problem keeping him up in the numbers.
Lester,
wait a minute.
Journalism professor Alan Wolper says more is an insult to journalism.
I think you called it insult journalism. I mean, aren't you sorry that you did that now? Don't you see what a nice guy I really am?
I didn't say insult journalism. I said it was an insult to journalism. There's a difference.
Oh, an insult to journalism. All right. I wouldn't insult you being a professor at a university where they give PhDs for fraternity hazing. I mean, well, what are you
True.
Doing with
that?
It's true. Basically, I feel like I'm an intruder here. I feel like I went to a Knick game by mistake.
Never been this much action in a Knick game before.
I can't believe it. I'm not really sure why I'm here. I know that talk shows are pretty hot. But I know Bob Graham for a number of years. I've been on his show. Actually, he's been on mine. And I'm not really sure what this is all about, except there seems to be a trend in the country where everybody shouts at each other and nobody listens.
What brings that trend about?
I don't know. Look at all the people. I've never seen anything like this in my life.
What's wrong with these people?
They're nice people, but they're really.
It looks like. Can you honestly tell me that there is anything wrong with this young lady? Can you honestly tell me?
Thank you, Mr.
Gallagher. I never saw you.
Boy, are you a horny old guy. Now, you talk about an insult to journalism. What
Wait
makes
minute,
you
think
every
think,
time a show is talking
I was
that
kidding.
You have to be a journalist?
I was kidding. I think the thing that bothers me about shows like this is that it pretends to be journalism. And when it's really not,
Never.
It's great entertainment.
Never. Who's pretending to be a journalist? You see this? This is the only journalism award I've ever received. I put my cigarettes out in it and I spit in it. All right? That's it. That's the only journalist.
Whatever.
Let me go to Tom Likas.
It's called public affairs. I think you promote.
I've never made my affairs less than public.
You promote the news programs. You try to get as much credibility as you possibly can.
I don't.
I think you do.
Alan Wolper criticizes Mort for targeting stereotypes, and Likas attacks the concept of teaching journalism, calling it a complete sham.
And what you do very well is you create stereotypes. You find stereotypes. And you parade them out, and they scream at each other, and they holler at each other. Sometimes they beat each other up. But they never really say anything. They never really say anything that lasts. It's like Chinese food. It's a half hour later, and you forget the whole show.
How often do you go to the Chinese restaurant, Professor?
as much I like Chinese food.
I thought so. Tom Likas. Let me ask you a question, pal. What do you think of the professor's elitist view? All right. That the only way people get any real information on talk shows is with four guys with William Buckley bow ties.
Well, I say this to a journalism professor. As a college dropout from Fordham University, those of us who can do. Those of us who can't become journalism professors. I sat in a university and I listened to people who were flops, who never made it in broadcasting, as writers, as anything, sitting there and teaching poor kids paying $25,000 a year so they can go out and learn how to go to Flagstaff, Arizona and become disc jockeys. It's an absolute sham. Journalism departments, teaching journalism, it's a sham. I'm a dropout, and
Alan,
it's a sham.
You're not going to sit there and take that.
Well, in fact, what I'd like to invite him on Sunday to share a podium with me where I'm accepting a first place for Society Professional Journalist First Place Award for a documentary I produced last year.
Can you tell us who saw it, please?
Likas continues to be verbally aggressive with the professor, saying no one watches documentaries.
Nobody can produce a documentary. Nobody watches the damn things. They're the lowest rated things on television. You guys get federal grants. You spend all this money. All these five people paying for you. So you can go there and win awards for things shows nobody watches.
Why are you shouting? I don't understand.
Because I'm making a point.
It seems to me that it's really very important.
I'm very hostile about this. I wasted a lot of money and time going to school so I can listen to people like you telling me how to be a journalist. And you want to know something? I'm making 10 times what you make, and I'm going to be 1,000 times as well known as you are and more successful you'll be. So you can sit there and you can accept
the award
for
giving me a humble death.
Nobody's going to watch. It just drives me crazy.
No, I've been a journalist. Wait a minute. I've been a journalist for 22 years, and one of the things I've learned to do is never to shout back at people, because people who usually shout are trying to hide a lot. And what I guess is that you're shouting.
I've opened myself up. You can ask me any question you want to. Go ahead. What am I hiding?
How many times have you been
hired? I don't think you have anything.
How many? No. This belongs to me now, folks. How many times have you been married?
Twice.
How many times you screw around on your first wife?
Never.
Never screwed around on your first wife?
Never.
How many times have you messed around on your second wife?
Never.
How many times have you had sex since the day you got married the first time?
I have no idea.
He has no idea, neither does his wife, all right? Okay, next we'll meet a woman who says housewives should be paid for their labor. Stand by.
After Mort asked Likas about his previous marriages and infidelity, Likas asked Mort the same questions in return.
Go ahead.
How many times have you been married?
Three times.
How many times did you screw around on your first wife?
Never.
How many times did you screw around on your second wife?
About 14.
How many times did
you know what my fantasy was?
What?
To get through the Playboy calendar from January through December.
How far did you go?
October.
Say, gentlemen, and I use that word advisedly, you are experiencing and displaying for the country exactly why you get bad rap in asking questions like that of your host. You've got no class.
Alan, that might be true. That might, no, Lester, no. Zip it.
If we're going to be on television,
we have the obligation. The obligation to let them know everything about it. No stone unturned.
Including your extramarital affair?
Yes, if you've been stupid enough to have them, you should own up to it.
Then let me tell you the things I know about...
I've been married three times. My third wife, 11 years, and I've never touched another one.
I know, but I want to talk about Likas.
I think we ought to talk about Tom Likas. Talked about Tom, and he had no memory of anything.
Well, I know, but... You could talk about Tom Likas and do his total history in exactly 5 seconds.
You know, I got to tell you something. We've heard a lot of yipping and yelling tonight, and God knows some major differences of opinion. Well, I guess that's what freedom is all about. No one will ever convince me that good ideas only come from soft-spoken,
intellectuals in university conference rooms. Baby, if it's a good idea and you believe in it, stand up, shout about it. That's what freedom's all about. That's what you guys can do. Stand up and shout about it.
Thank you for watching this video, and please subscribe for more analyses of viral moments and episodes from the Morton Downey Jr. Show. This video is brought to you by FunnySpecial.com and the @RadioBam and @BamRadio TikTok accounts.